Alrighty, you were listening to some B.B. King there, and apparently I had a little technical difficulty with that recording. He dropped right in the middle of it, so I had to fill in with a little Billy Dee and the Hoodoos while we were arranging the Skype call in the background. But at this time, I have Vinnie Eastwood and Suzanne Posell ready for their presentation. Vinnie's website is The Vinnie Eastwood Show, all one word, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. And Suzanne's website is OccupyCorporatism, all one word, .com. And guys, I think at this point you're live and it's all yours.
Let's not forget the USIndependent.com. Right, Suzanne?
A lot of people are enjoying what's going on over there, so... yeah, let's not forget it.
I've made a note for next time.
Now, we've seen a trend in journalism globally, even for those who have no journalistic training like myself, that there is this agenda at play to either cover things up or to blow certain things out of proportion. You all know what I'm talking about. And it has a massive effect, I believe, on the general population and what they think. And if we are going to change the way people think, it is imperative, I believe, to return to real, credible journalism, not hyping things up and blowing things out of proportion, not telling outrageous lies and so forth, and covering things that need be covered, things that are actually important, things that should be news. Now, Suzanne, I was looking over some of your articles a few days ago, and what I notice is a propensity for technology articles, new forms of technology that are coming to light and being used by state and local law enforcement, the military, spying, Google, and all of these other operations going coinciding. Like, is it possible now that, you know, despite the fact we're all under surveillance, we can truly contribute some truth in journalism to the world?
I believe so, but we have to be brave about it. We have to be able to stand up and say it. A lot of people use, I saw all over social media this morning, anonymous sources, anonymous sources, anonymous sources. You know, even the Google Glass article that I wrote about the NYPD, it comes from an anonymous source. Now, I understand that blowing the whistle and standing up is very scary, and it takes someone with a lot of courage. Not that people who aren't blowing whistles anonymously aren't courageous, but it takes a lot of courage to stand up as yourself and speak. However, there are lots of phenomena going on. When Fox News says, some sources say, that's their way of saying, this is my opinion and I'm going to interject it as if it had a semblance of authority, because you're going to better receive that information. There's other ways that you're being manipulated, and these ways need to stop. One of them is, we all have this innate need to want to be part of the crowd. And we look to the people in the crowd who are doing well, look very good, have the best relationships, have all the toys that we're told that we want. And if we can't obtain their status, then we give up. So we have this creation where we're wanting to achieve that status. So we monitor, we watch, we read all the gossip about all of the people that we look up to. But what they do is they take that and twist it and use it against you and use your fear that you're not going to be part of the crowd, that you're not going to attain that status, against you, while you're reading these articles, while you're taking in this information, and you're freaked out. You don't know how to respond. You're looking for answers. I'm wondering, and Vinny, maybe you can help me, because you've been to so many protests, what are we supposed to do when even our disenfranchisement is bundled up and repackaged to us as a fake protest?
I think we have to develop discernment. In fact, what this reminds me of is just when Occupy Auckland was just starting to kick off. Now, at the time, I was already pretty well known as the guy who does all the videos of protests and all of that kind of thing. So naturally, the head media person of Occupy Auckland sends me a text message asking me to come down. And I say, well, man, you know, I've got a 5-day-a-week radio show, all right, and I do video as well. I can't be in a tent doing that on wireless. It's just not possible. Plus all the editing time and everything like that. So I didn't really go down there to stay. I went down there to contribute, sort of thing. But he was like, no. You know, don't you realize this is it? This is it. You know, this is the revolution. It's happening. And I was just like, I suddenly saw myself as this, you know, hardy, seasoned, salty sea dog of an activist and just be going, you young whelp, don't you realize that all of these little things that come up and start to gain momentum and what have you eventually get ruthlessly crushed, you know? And not to mention, have a look through history. What do occupations traditionally do other than fail? Nothing! So I was actually quite offended, and he started attacking me, and, you know, saying I don't give a crap about the movement or anything like that. People everywhere are in this now, me culture. That's what I've realized over my years of being an activist. It doesn't matter whether or not you're hosting a enormous town hall meeting with 1,000 people there so that you can hear people talk about a surveillance bill. No, the presenter and the person who puts it on really only cares about everybody and how they think about him, right? You got this mass madness, this ego-driven need to be an activist. And I think this is a really bad way to go about it. If you're going to be an activist, if you're going to be a journalist, if you're going to be doing the right thing, you have to realize one important lesson. It's not about you. It's not about you.
That is extremely important. You know, there's the you know, person's name in the show, and it gives the idea that this is all about that person. The one thing I love about your show is that you give 2 hours or 3 hours to someone else to give their story, to give their information, and interjecting a few comments and a few jokes in between, but really showcasing ideas, thoughts, opening people's minds, that this is the problem. We have a belief system. We were trained that things are going to happen a certain way, and we're always waiting for that one thing off in the distance to happen. And it never happens, folks. Do you ever wonder why it never happens? It's possible that the way in which we've been taught that things are going to happen are not actually the way that it's happening. And the proof of that is if you pay attention to the actual news. If you want to know when the banking collapse is going to happen and when they're going to crush the dollar, pay attention to the news. Pay attention to the banks. Pay attention to the IMF, the Bank for International Settlements, what the central banks are doing. Guess what? They're not crushing the dollar. They're moving away from the paper money. They're turning it into digital currency. They have polymer notes, so they don't need paper money. They have plastic money that's just as trackable, just as traceable as your card. Everybody wants the chip to pin. So now you have a computer chip. You're chipped. If you want a bank account, if you want to transact money in any way, shape, or form, you will be chipped. They don't have to crash their system, and they're not crashing their system. But when everyone has a belief system and they're looking in the news for validation of their belief system, we're not paying attention to what's actually happening. And I wonder, Vinny, you can interject with this. How effective are we if we're not paying attention to what's actually happening?
Well, you know, actually, I found that some people who just charge in without even knowing what they're going on about find out what it is they're going on about in the process. Have you noticed that? You know, they charge into the situation and without even understanding it, wind up getting messed around by it, and it teaches them very important lessons about it and makes them even better at exposing it than somebody who had learned all there is to know and walks in very cautiously. So I'm in favor of a whole range of different approaches of getting the message across. Now, in terms of how people can contribute, it depends on the person. What I really have to stress to people is not only is it not about you, but there's also no savior. All right. There's also no idol. You can't put somebody up on a pedestal and say, I want to be that person or like that person or something like that. Right. When I was starting off, people were telling me, oh, Vinny, you want to be the Alex Jones of New Zealand. And I go, no. I'd rather Alex Jones be known as the Vinny Eastwood of America. Because if you're putting things into place that actually have a genuine effect on the way people think and provide valuable insight on the way the world truly works in all its wonderful and very dark ways, then I believe it is inherent upon you a enormous quantity of responsibility. Not only responsibility for the kinds of things that you choose to say and do and what have you, but also a responsibility to say what needs to be said, and don't be quiet about it, because there's this idea that I have now, every single time you get a piece of scary information, that kind of grafts itself to you in a way. If I was to tell you that the permafrost is melting or something of that nature, and we have a limited number of decades before life in the Northern Hemisphere is livable, you know, that's kind of a very scary thing. Are you telling me that half the world's going to be dead in 10 years, 20 years? Yeah, yeah, it's going down. So what do you do when you have frightening information like that? Well, you make jokes, because after all, why would you accept an inevitable fate? Really? I don't like that idea. There's no limit to creativity. People have an innate ability to come up with inventions in the face of doom. I have faith in the human race. And even if we fail to save the world from scumbaggery or global warming or the Fukushima or whatever thing, fake or real, in terms of a threat level to the Earth, it doesn't really matter which way the world ends, just as long as you don't resign your fact to the self that you've lost already. I think we've already won. If we have a look at what we've been facing, an enormous apparatus of scumbaggery and terrible, terrible media brainwashing people, it is nothing short of a miracle that people are capable of waking up at all. And we forget these victories. We forget that the amount of visitors to websites that are now telling the truthful media story are being hugely followed, in some cases outranking mainstream media. So there's a lot to look forward to. And if we're capable of spreading enough information with enough, you know, laughter and fun along the way so that people don't get bogged down in the fear, I think we can really have a shot at a decent world.
Sure. The press was designed to be the checks and balances. If we return to that model and the press becomes the checks and balances, then the information that we get will help us be informed and help us make better decisions about our world immediately and otherwise. And so I think that's all that most people, I hope most people in independent media are aiming toward. I know that the people who contribute to the U.S. Independent are experts in their field. They have credentials. They know what they're talking about. And they haven't changed their story to fit whatever trend has been going on in on Google Trends or whatever that, you know, Twitter. They're not worried about sensational information to get clicks. They're worried about the fact that we have access to yodabytes of information on the internet, and we're not using that information correctly. And so,
did you say yodabytes? I didn't know Yoda had teeth.
Oh well, I wasn't sure if it was yodabytes or zetabytes. I get confused. when you get that high.
On a constant diet of baby food, I am.
A lot of journalists that I've spoken to who write for mainstream, and a few of them have agreed to write for the U.S. Independent, when I speak to them about the kind of articles that they write, I'm always surprised that they write stuff very similar to what I write. The difference is they submit their article to someone, that person's editing that stuff out and then spitting it back out onto the website or in print under that person's name. And that person doesn't get a choice. I get a choice because I edit my own work. So good, bad, or indifferent, it's mine. I take responsibility for it. But these journalists are not able, they don't even have that choice. They're not in the position to choose. They need the money and they enjoy writing. It's not that they're not exposing corruption. It's just that it's getting edited out before you get to it.
So let's say they're exposing about 10% of the corruption that they could. And
yes.
There was a realization I had just yesterday, Suzanne, funny you should mention. What is the main point of being a journalist? I think actually to expose corruption is like number one. Really? I mean, doesn't that affect society? Like the higher the corruption you expose, the better off the society is, because it doesn't allow people who are taking advantage of people's trust to remain in power and gain more of it.
Absolutely. I just broke a story about foreclosures. The lead attorney in the case is a contributor to the U.S. Independent, and he had just won. The house was sold, and Bank of America was behind the foreclosure. But here's the interesting thing, and this is the details that nobody gets to hear, because nobody is – very few people. I don't want to make blanket statements. I apologize. But very few people are actually paying attention to what's going on in the court system and reporting on these decisions and these opinions as they come out. So what happened in this case was extremely interesting. Bank of America had the MERS system as the independent – a trustee during the foreclosure. The MERS system is a computer system. It's a database. It's not sentient yet. It can't be an undiscriminate part of this foreclosure. So then Bank of America scratched that off and then put in a group called Recon Trust, who happens to be in a subsidiary of Bank of America. Again, conflict of interest. Now, all of this was buried in the foreclosure, and Scott Stafney, who was the attorney for the homeowner, saw this information. He's a constitutional attorney. He pointed out to the judge that, according to the Washington State Constitution, this foreclosure did not follow the Deed of Trust Act, and therefore it was unconstitutional. And guess what? The homeowner now won the case. His house was sold, unfortunately, but now he is entitled to and is in the process of suing Bank of America for damages for the amount of money that they got for the sale of the house and any punitive damages that he would be awarded under the Washington State statute. More cases like this need to come out. More intimate details about what's going on in our world locally needs to come out, because this case, and by the way, Scott Stafney has won 41 cases. That was his 41st case. He is the Washington State is part of the 9th district in America, which includes Washington State, Oregon, and California. That is a major district. So when decisions come down in those districts, it starts a trend across the country, where other districts will then follow suit. And then before you know it, last year, the foreclosures market reported that they were down 30%. That's huge. That means that people are winning cases in court. Not a lot of them are being reported on, but the banks are seizing less homes. We can keep this trend going and make it 40%, 50%, 80% until they don't get a home. We are winning every single case. We get our home back or we get monetary compensation. The banks don't want this exposed. So this is the kind of, and I'm not trying to puff myself up, and I apologize if it sounds like it, but this is the kind of journalism that needs to come out, because these kind of articles can actually help us make better decisions in our world. If you're going to go for a mortgage, you might want to know what Bank of America is capable of.
I think investigative journalism in terms of public policy is kind of one of the major contributing factors. I mean, because if you're making a policy for the public at the executive level, for example, let's say, for example, the ruling elite didn't actually have control of the president directly with their hand up his back. And he would actually try and make good decisions based upon available information. Well, I think investigators who dig into the very core of things and find really important stuff that actually means a hell of a lot would probably be one of the best contributors, don't you think? Especially if they don't actually have an agenda when they
yes.
report on something.
Well, I wrote an article just a couple of days ago about Al Jazeera. Now, I found it interesting that the White House was calling for the release of three Al Jazeera reporters. And the reason why I wrote the article was because they were talking about the freedom of speech and citizen journalism and the restrictions of freedom of expression by having these men locked up in Egypt. And I thought how atrocious it is that our government, that Jay Carney, the press secretary, is up there talking about citizen journalism. Al Jazeera is not citizen journalism. It is run by one of the emirs in Qatar.
Isn't it owned by, like, a royalty of
yes.
some description in the Persian Gulf?
Yes. In it's headquartered in Doha, Qatar. And the emir of Qatar set down the $500 million in order to launch the operation and continued to monetarily sustain it from 96 to 2000.
Is it now paying the bills with all those ads for Qatar Airways?
Well, it's state-sponsored, you know. Somewhere...
State-sponsored
someone,
journalism. I think
which is citizen journalism.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Now, somewhere along the lines, Americans got this idea that foreign entities who report news are independent and not state-funded and not propaganda. I don't know who started that rumor, but it's not true. RT?
I think it was MSNBC that started that rumor.
Was it? Well, don't listen to them. They're lying. RT is state-funded.
Like
RT is part of RIA Novosti, which is the original Ministry of Propaganda that was begun in 1944.
They're the Novosti with the Mosti.
And their office, their headquarters is right down the hall. It's from RIA Novosti. Okay? They say hi to each other every morning. They probably park their cars next to each other. This is not independent journalism. People
it's
need
like
to
having a handler.
It is information that is governed by the government, and it is sanctioned by the government. It is not unbiased. Now, I'm not saying that there isn't some truth to that, but let me ask you a question. How much time do you have on your hands to sit and wade through all of the garbage until you get to the truth? I don't know about you, but I'm kind of sick of it.
Well, some people think that there's no such thing as objective truth. I believe that there is an objective truth, but the problem is I haven't seen the evidence of it yet, so I don't know exactly what it is.
Well, that's kind of like the Higgs boson.
Yeah. Well,
one day we'll discover it.
Well, exactly. And here's another thing. I really want to get this out there because for goodness sake, people coming at you, oh, you're only talking about the problems. You need to talk about solutions. It's like, well, hold on. Am I a public policy official or am I a journalist? Am I an engineer or a scientist or am I a journalist? You know? There's the thing. Everybody's got their roles in life and they fit into society in a certain way. And journalism, I think, is about exposing the problems so that people can come up with solutions rather than be the be all and end all, tell you everything that's going on and everything you should do about it.
You are a creative, innovative being. You have an imagination. you can use that power in order to come up with really cool ideas. Get a piece of paper and a pencil. Write a pros and cons list if you have to. But get that skill back. If you know what the problem is, then you can find a solution. And please stop waiting for someone else to come and save you. Because if you do, then we're just going to keep riding this train. And I don't mean to scare anyone, but there's a bridge out. And we're on the train that's on the tracks that's heading toward that bridge. So yeah. If anyone wants to get one spark of innovative, imaginative thought after this broadcast, then please write it down and share it with friends and have an open discussion with people. And let's get some ideas going on how we can return America to a constitutional republic, but the globe from this evil 85 people, by the way. I reported on this this past week when the World Economic Forum were meeting. 85 people are at the top of that pyramid, okay? It's only 85 people. It's not a lot. So,
but even though there's only 85 people at the very top, just think about how many swathes of minions that they have. You know, it's like in Austin Powers, you know, like where do they get all these stupid people with guns and stuff like that to just get shot by the good guy? It's freaking ridiculous.
It is. It is, and that's probably something you and I should record, because I've been doing some interesting research and learning things from a different light, and it's sort of I was inspired by the World Economic Forum, because I realized there are a bunch of CEO heads sitting down and talking. And what's the problem? You and I are not heads of corporations. We don't understand how they think. There's a gap. There's a miscommunication problem going on. If we understand how they think, then we can understand how to combat this.
Hey, Suzanne, I just wanted to remind you that this runaway train that we're on, you know, where the bridge is out, the engineer is back in the club car having adult beverages with me right now, so that's probably part of the problem. But you know, we're we're coming up on the last minute and a half that I can give you, and I do want to make sure we take a moment here to take a deep breath and get some of that blatant promotion out there that is so important. I mean, if people want to find out a little bit more about what you've got to say, where do they find you? What are the best places to look?
You can go to OccupyCorporatism.com. That's my main website. And the USIndependent.com, which Vinnie Eastwood is a contributor, and thank you so much for contributing. And I'll hand the floor over to
now,
him.
Now, the US Independent. Now, let's we got a minute here. Let's, that's something new. When did that fire up? And what is the type of content I might find there?
I have decided that if we're going to replace the mainstream, then we have to start a news agency. And so I have begun a news agency. Phase one is the U.S. Independent, which is the online newspaper. We have a lot of 20 or 23 contributors right now. They are Dr. Rima Libo and Charlotte Iserby, who's a good friend of mine, and Thomas Sheridan, Dane Wigington from geoengineeringwatch.org, Vinnie Eastwood. These are people who know what they're talking about, and it's important that their information get out to the public. And because of such the wonderful response from the public, we're moving into phase three, which is broadcasting and radio. So thank you so much.
I got to cut you off there. Vinny, you got 30 seconds, man. Some blatant self-promotion, man.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, 5 days a week, 3 hours a day, pre-recorded. You can go listen to the archives at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question, and Eastwood doesn't go ahead. Make my news. Oh. And if you go to the YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, or just search Vinnie Eastwood on YouTube, you'll find that too. And subscribe, like 12,000 other people. It'll be fantastic. All right. Thank you very much.
We used up every second, guys. I hope you'll be available for roundtable, but I got to take us out quickly with a bumper. Here we go.
You're listening to UnitedWeStrike.com radio. Don't buy. Don't comply. Ask why. UnitedWeStrike.com radio.